2 Corinthians 3, verse number 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. Some translations say, well, let me just read the rest. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Some translations say, where the Spirit is Lord. You know, Jesus is Lord, but the Bible said that what Jesus said, when I leave, I'm going to send another comforter, and he's the one that's going to, like he was the present for the disciples to teach them and guide them and so forth. He said, the Spirit's going to come and he's going to guide you into all truth.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
He takes whatever Jesus says and passes it on to us.
Yeah.
But it's our ability to interact with and respond to the Spirit and recognizing when he's talking to us, guiding us, prompting us, teaching us, so forth, maybe correcting us. It's our ability to respond to those things that enables us to make Jesus Lord.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
The best God has for us is to go on from salvation.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
God, salvation is good, but we need to keep progressing.
Yes.
To where the Spirit gets his way. Jesus, really, through the Spirit, gets his way in our lives in every area, and he'll start dealing with us. You know, how many of you know, he didn't deal with us about some things when we first got saved.
Right, yeah. Right.
But as we started walking with him, he started enlightening our eyes, and we started seeing areas that our thinking was wrong, our believing was wrong, maybe our actions, our attitudes, or something needed to be cut off, or something like that. And that doesn't mean we're evil people or terrible Christians. It just means we came into more light, and we need to now walk in the more light that we got.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. There's more protection in a person's life who just doesn't know. They're making mistakes. You know, things. They're making decisions or going directions against the Word of God because they don't know. Then there is protection for somebody who knows but just doesn't want to listen.
Yeah. Right.
It's really not wise to come up to light and not walk in it.
Yeah.
You know? So the Lord will keep progressively taking us from one step to another of his will. Now, then this next verse, verse 18, you know, where the Spirit is Lord, there is liberty, verse 17 says.
Yes, sir.
How many of you like that liberty thought?
Yeah.
Yeah, liberty. Then he said, verse 18, but we all with open face, that means unveiled face. The context here is Moses coming down on Mount Sinai and his face was glowing. They had to put a veil over his face.
Right.
But he said over here in the New Testament, we have unveiled faces, not veiled faces.
Yeah. Yeah.
To behold as in a glass, or we would say a mirror, the glory of the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah.
And by doing that are changed into the same image from glory to glory. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord.
Yes. Amen.
Say, from glory, to glory.
To glory.
That's something that moves beyond salvation.
Yes,
yes.
That's a work of the Spirit in the believer's life that is not just they're saved and they just live defeated.
Right.
They just stay close to where they got in at.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Little boy one time kept falling out of the bed, and his mama said, well, son, why do you keep falling out of the bed? He said, well, I guess it's because I stayed too close to where I got in at.
Yeah.
And that's why some Christians keep falling into certain things.
Yeah.
They stay too close to where they got in at.
Yes. Come on now.
In other words, where they got saved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Getting saved is good.
Yes.
Yeah.
But God has something better than just getting saved and then living with an unrenewed mind, living defeated, living tormented, living bound, living oppressed, living in fear, worry, all these things, poverty, sickness, all the curse of the law, living. God has something better than just being saved. He's in this verse is talking about going from glory to glory. It's glorious to get saved. But there's an offer of more glory. I said, the offer is on the table. I decided to have the more glory version of Christianity.
Amen.
Am I making any sense? Not just the glorious, the salvation is glorious. Don't misunderstand. If you're going to get anything, get that.
Yes, please.
But that's not the biggest offer that he had.
Yeah,
well,
right.
I should say God has offers in addition to that.
Yeah.
Yes, he does.
Yep.
Amen.
Glory from, say that out loud. From glory.
From glory.
It's glorious to get saved.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
To glory.
To glory.
What's he referring to? He's talking about degrees of glory.
Oh yeah.
Yes, he is.
Say that out loud. Degrees of glory. Hallelujah. There's degrees of glory for the believer. There's degrees of light.
Yes.
There's a degree. There's degrees of knowing God.
Yes.
There's degrees of faith.
Yep.
There are degrees of spiritual growth.
Yes.
All these things are by degrees.
That's right.
You read terms in the Bible like, and you'll remember some of these verses. I won't turn to all of them. You know, most of you know many of them are. You'll read verses like, you'll hear Jesus giving a parable. He'll give a parable about sowing a seed, and he said it'll begin to produce first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear.
Yes.
That's right.
What is that? Progression.
Progression. Yeah. That's right.
Say progression.
Progression.
God's plan for every believer is that they progress.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't just come in and get saved and stay close to where they got in at.
That's, right.
That's why a lot of Christians keep falling, falling. They're too close to where they got in at.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. He wants us to produce first the blade, then the ear, then the full cord in the ear.
Yep.
Then you'll hear him say things like in the parable of the sower, Mark 4 and so forth, 30, 60, 100 fold.
Amen.
Another passage, I'm just referring to passages in the Bible that refer to things being in our lives by degrees.
Yes.
Knowing God by degrees.
Yes.
Growing spiritually by degrees.
Yes.
Revelation of the Word by degrees. Walking in freedom by degrees.
That's right.
Yes.
Remember Jesus said, you know, John 8:32, so forth, you'll know the truth. And the truth, you could add that you know, will make you free.
Yes.
You could add, by degree.
That's right. That's real good.
Yeah.
You, couldn't you? Because,
that's right.
Because we know truth to a degree, but not like we're going to know next year.
That's right.
We're going to know it better next year.
That's right.
I know it better this year than I knew it 2 or 3 years ago, 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm walking freer than I was 5 years ago.
Amen. Yes, sir. Amen.
The word will produce for you.
Yes, it will. Amen.
But it produces by degrees as it gets into our heart. Remember the Bible said, let the word of Christ dwell in you
richly.
What is that? That's a degree.
Yeah, that's right.
In other words, not skimpily.
That's right.
Not, you know, I'm looking for the word, it's a little puny. Let the word, just a puny amount of the word get into you. There's a lot of things in you and my life that we want to see changed.
Yes, sir.
And the only way to get it changed, are you with me this morning, is to grow out of where we are in the degree of revelation that we're at.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
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 Get the word in us more. Somebody said, Pastor, I've been meditating on it. Yeah, and you think you got it, but compared to where God wants us to be, we haven't got it sometimes.
Yeah.
Amen. It hasn't dawned on us yet.
Right.
Like there are people, the Lord was dealing with me about this in this weekend, this, you know, the end of last week. There are people that come into some light in Christianity. See, we're talking about moving on from just getting saved.
Yes, yeah.
They come into some light and they get to the place where they, at first they don't understand all the stuff that's bothering their head and thoughts and bombardments and stuff that goes on in society and culture, and they just don't understand, well, God's sovereign, why is all this going on, you know? But see, he's not sovereign.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of Christians just run out the church because somebody said that, but you got to understand what I just said.
Yes,
I didn't say he's not the Most High God.
Right.
I said he's not running everything like people think he's running everything. The Bible says Satan is the God of this world.
Right.
I have relatives that finally came, I'm thinking of some of them, they finally came to the place, they realized what was opposing them, why they were so oppressed and depressed all their life, and some of the things that went on, and the harassments, and the outbreaks and the outbursts that they flew into at times, and they finally understood there are demonic forces in the earth.
Yes. Yes. Yes, sir.
There is good and evil.
That's right. Yes. That's right. Yes. Yes, sir.
and they came into some light, and I rejoiced in that. But some of them never, and that's good. That's some light. The Bible said we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not people.
Come on. That's right.
We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. There are forces of darkness. The Bible calls Satan the prince of the power of the air. The Bible calls him the rulers of the darkness of this world. There are people in spiritual darkness and Satan rules over them. Demons rule over them. Demons talk to them. Demons tell them to do something. Demons try to get them to respond to them. And they do wicked things, and that's not God. And some Christians didn't even realize that until they woke up and realized, no, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. There are forces at work against God. And they're evil and they're wicked, and some people respond to them, and there are wicked men and there are wicked people, and there are, and they do wicked things, and God has nothing to do with it. And people come to that realization, and that's good.
Come on.
But they don't come to the realization that those forces are under their feet.
Amen.
They become aware of the darkness and the forces of darkness, and they become enamored with it and filled with amazement, and they become interested in the occult and all kinds of stuff, and understanding that there are these demon forces. Sure there are, but you got to keep moving on. So you know where those things have been. Jesus spoiled principalities and powers.
Amen.
You're free from them right now. The blood of Jesus has made you free.
Amen.
The Bible says, who hath delivered us from the authority of darkness. And with that revelation, it's good to recognize there are forces of darkness, but you've got to keep moving on and keep renewing your mind and go from that degree of glory and revelation to the next. Which means you realize that he raised you far above them. Seated you far above them. And told you to tread on serpents and scorpions.
Amen.
That you, the blood of Jesus has redeemed you from them. So that's going from glory to glory. You understand? And that's going from first the blade, then the ear, then the full glory. That's going from 30, 60 to 100 fold. You can keep on progressing in revelation till you get the full potential of life on this earth as God intended it to be.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You remember we said we were studying the glory of God, and we said that one of the definitions out of the vines, W.E. Vines, if you don't have the W.E. Vines, it's a great, I think it's also Old Testament words, but New Testament words, W.E. Vines, get it on your iPad and stuff. But it says, Vines says that one of the definitions of glory is that it is the original intention of what God, the glory of man or anything God created, is the original intention or state in which God intended that it be.
Yes.
That I will live with that revelation the rest of my life.
Yes.
Remember, all have sinned and come short of the
glory
of God. They weren't in the state anymore that God intended them to be. What was that? Righteousness. Sinlessness. And clothed with the glory of God. And in authority. Let us make man in our image. This is God talking to Adam and Eve, or actually before he made Adam and Eve. Let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and let them have what?
Dominion.
That was God's original intent, God's original state in which he created man. To have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over every creeping thing. And then he said finally, over all the earth. That would include all the gold, all the oil, all the everything you need in this life. That's the original state. And in that, when man is in that place, that's the glory of God.
Amen.
But we walk in those things. See, we're redeemed back to those things. Back to walking in authority. Back to righteousness. Back to being cleansed by the blood. Back to the glory of God. Remember whom he's justified? We read it in the glory conference. Whom he's justified, them he's also glorified. We've been brought back to the glory. The plan of redemption. Remember 1 Corinthians 2:7. That was his plan. Marked off to bring man back to the glory of God. The original state that God created him in. The only thing we don't have right now is a glorified body. But mark my words, that's the end of this glorification process.
Praise God.
We're going from glory to glory. And the ultimate will be the body being changed to an immortal body.
Hallelujah.
But the Bible says plainly in Romans 8, we have the down payment on that now.
Yes, yes. Amen.
And he calls it the quickening of the mortal.
Hallelujah. Yes.
In other words, keeping this one alive, free from pain, free from sickness and disease, until, this is the mortal one, until our bodies are glorified.
Amen.
That's called the down payment. That's called the earnest of our inheritance. That's the down payment of the, that's the first part of the rest that is to come.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Glory.
Hallelujah. I'm doing it. I'm preaching myself happy. If you're not having half as fun as me, then I'm having twice as much fun as you.
Oh, glory to God.
Praise the Lord. And see, people say, well, I just don't believe that. Okay, stay in the level of glory you're at. But that's not God's will. God wants you to go from glory to glory. No, I tried all that. I tried walking by faith to receive all that, and it didn't work. Well, it's just that you need more revelation. To get to the from one stage to the next, you have to have more revelation. You have to have more understanding. Remember some other verses, like, for example, John chapter number 15. That's the parable of the vine and the branches. Jesus told that parable, and he gives five levels of fruit bearing in that passage. Number one, remember, he said, I'm the vine, or I'm the true vine, you are the branches. He that dwells in me brings forth fruit, so forth. And he starts out by talking about if a man doesn't abide in me, he doesn't bring forth any fruit. So there's no fruit. And you go through there, and then there's fruit. You can read this passage and see this if you've never read it. No fruit, then more fruit, then much fruit, and then fruit that remains. Four levels of fruit bearing. Okay, what is fruit? It's, according to the context, answers to prayer.
Yes. That's right.
In other words, what that says in the Bible coming to pass in your life.
Yes.
That's right.
It's not automatic because God said it. I know this is real simple, but we got to get to some things. And plus, my heart has been drawn towards the new ones that are coming in. You know? So, how do you get from... Go to John 15 real quick. I want you to see it. Because sometimes it doesn't register on people unless they see it in their Bible. And if you're new to the church, we encourage you to bring a Bible and look at these things with us, because it'll just kind of hit you better. I found that to be true. Anybody found that to be true?
Yes.
Just hits you better. It lasts with you better. This is the parable. Remember, verse 1. John 15, 1, I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, that's the first level, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, that's the second level, he purgeth it that it might bring forth more fruit. That's the third level. And you can go up to verse number 5 and see much fruit. And then down in verse number 16, where is it? Verse 16. Yeah, fruit that remains. Verse number 16. But how do I get from one degree of bearing fruit, which is according to verse 7, you abide in me and my words abide in you, you ask what you will and it'll be done unto you, herein my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. He's talking about prayer fruit, getting answers to prayer. Hearing, in other words, receiving from God in prayer.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way. How do I get from one degree to the next? Okay, it says it. Notice what he said. Look at verse number 2. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he purges that it might bring forth more fruit. Okay, so there's how you get from bearing fruit to more fruit. How many of you know that must be also the way you get from more fruit to much fruit?
That's right.
And from much fruit to fruit that remains. And keep on going. How does that work? Okay, it says, every branch in me that bears fruit, he takes away, or bears not fruit, excuse me. Every branch that bears fruit, he purges it that it might bring forth more fruit. Uh-oh, Pastor, I'm out of here. I don't want that. I don't like that. That's problems, tests, and trials. I don't want that. No. Hold on. Don't run off too quick. He purges it that it might bring forth more fruit. Now look at verse 3. Now you are clean. Now hold on before we go any further. The exact same Greek word translated purged up there in verse 2 is the Greek word translated here in verse 3, clean. So purging is not going through a test and trial. Because notice what he said. Now you are clean. How? Through going through a test and trial.
No, sir.
No. You are clean. How?
Through the word.
Through the word.
Yep.
Yeah.
Really good.
The washing of the water of the word. Now go to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. Oh, thank God for the word. Ephesians 5, Jesus is the husband and wife marriage relationship is to follow Christ in the church. It's to be an illustration of Christ in the church. And this passage talks about all that. And Jesus, in verse 25, is the husband. He said, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the word." Not through tests and trials. Oh, he's putting me through this and bringing this test and trial so he can teach me something. Baloney! You're going to have to be washed from that if you're going to get to another degree of glory. Another degree of fruit bearing. If you think he's bringing these things to teach you something, then that's going to keep you from going on in glory.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
He said, notice verse number 26, first of all, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the what?
Word.
The word. That what? He might present it to himself a
glorious
church. In other words, this is how we go from glory to glory.
Yeah.
You're clean. We're clean through the word.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Not through tests and trials. No, I didn't say tests and trials won't come.
Right.
I'm just saying that's not God bringing them to.
Yeah.
Right.
You understand?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Faith doesn't mean you won't have tests and trials. Not whatsoever. Might mean you have a little extra. Because Satan will come for the word's sake. Mark 4. But don't let that be afraid. Don't let that make you say, I don't want to get a hold of the word then. Well, then that guarantees no glory.
That's right.
You get the glory. I mean, you get the word and get washed by it and renew your mind and start progressing in your thinking in line with the word and start believing in line with the word. You'll start moving into more glory. Satan will oppose you, but you've got the answers for Satan.
Yes.
You get the answers. The word has all the answers. So, but that's just one illustration of this progressive plan that God has for our lives. We gave you the parable of the sower, 30, 60, and 100 fold. Isn't that right? We gave you first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. We gave you this in John 15, fruit, no fruit, fruit, more fruit, much fruit, and fruit that remains. How many of you know the one you need to go to and really see is here in Romans chapter number 12, verse number 2. Another progression that you and I can see of talking about this glorification process.
Yeah.
I'm going fast in some of these scriptures. I can't tell you how much the young ones have been on my heart lately, and I'm just pulling it down into granny gear again. So notice what it says in verse number 2. Be not conformed, this is Romans 12, 2. Be not conformed to this world. That's what we came out of. Satan's the god of that. The god of this world. Remember 2 Corinthians 4:4? Satan is the god of this world. Be not conformed to this world. It's just not talking about the ball and the planet and the rocks and so forth. It's talking about the way that people under Satan's dominion think and do things and live. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, there's the thought life. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay, this is not talking to people that are not saved. This is talking to Christians. So God has a plan for Christians to move beyond the good of getting saved.
Yes.
Be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove, notice, what is that what?
Good,
acceptable, and what? Perfect will of God. Okay, is that same progression? Isn't that a progression? Going from one degree of God's will to another degree of God's will. Are you listening to me? Then what we're seeing here is God wants us to progress from where we got in at. He has a plan to bring our life into more glory. It's called the perfect will of God. The best God has for us. Getting saved is good, but that's not the best God has for us. The best he has is us going on.
That's right.
Getting filled with the Spirit. All that his word says, becoming a part of a local church, becoming, getting our minds renewed with the water of the word, washed with the water of the word, thinking like he thinks rather than the way we used to think. The world has a way of thinking. God, it's directly opposed to God's way of thinking in so many things. The world out there right now, good is evil, up is down, you know. They're just all messed up. Just all messed up. All messed up. They're just, I mean, it's just really amazing. They've gotten so distorted that math isn't even math anymore. I mean, is 2 plus 2 4? We're not sure. Ooh, tweet, tweet.
You're right. You're right.
You know. So, I mean, the more you walk in the renewed mind, the more you hear the news and you're like, they're in a different world. They're just in a different place. They are hung up on this little thing and that little thing, and that's not the issue. The issue is the sin nature. That's what the issue is. Being born again.
Yes, amen.
That is so true.
You get people of all colors born again, and you got it fixed. Get the love of God shed abroad in their heart. Get them walking in the light of that new nature, and you got the thing fixed. But no, it's all complex and convoluted. No, it's not. The Bible talks about actually 2 Corinthians 11. Go over there. 1 Corinthians 11, verse number 3. I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. It's not complicated. It's simple.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So many answers are so simple.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People have become so smart they're dumb.
Everybody. You know it.
Come on.
You know they are.
I'm telling you. I'm just telling you. That's what sin will do for you. You know, they can't help themselves. They're sinners.
Exactly. Come on.
So we're not trying to beat them up. We're just simply saying it's not complicated.
Right.
The fixes of society and so forth, and it's easy. Anyway, that was all free. So you can see all these verses that bring out the progression.
Yeah.
Can you see that? So really, you can think of it this way. When a man gets saved, that's good. But God has more for him. Amen. That's the doorway in to a whole world of blessings and so forth. But that's not moving on to the acceptable or the perfect will of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. God's ultimate for our lives doesn't happen, whether it be fullness. Like take, for example, divine healing. You can get saved, and that's good, but be sick, broke, busted, disgusted, tormented in your mind, so forth and so on. There's so many things God has more for you in that. But let's take the area of healing. You can come to the place you realize Christ, like we're talking about in the offering, has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Wow. I can be healed of my sicknesses. Okay, you're moving on from good to acceptable. Somebody said, acceptable? What's wrong with that? I'll tell you, there's something better. The perfect will of God is divine health. He said, I'll take sickness out of the midst of you, and the number of your days you'll fulfill. If sickness is taken out of our midst, there's none of us sick. Well, Pastor, I'm not there. Well, maybe I'm not either. But that's not God's fault. We're not blaming God. You and I need to stay away from blaming God for that. Pastor, you set the bar too high. I mean, nobody can attain to that. Who said? I'm on my way. I'm a much further along in that than I used to be. I haven't obtained it all, but that's not God's fault. Did he say it's him determining whether I have the good acceptable? No, he said it's you and my renewing our mind that determines whether we have the good acceptable or the perfect will of God. It's not on his side. He's not holding out on us. Hey, whether it's you or me, I'm not condemning you. I've been to the hospital. I've had an operation. And did it without condemnation. But I didn't accuse God of being unfaithful. And say, well, God didn't come through this time. No. No, it was on my end. I knew that. Listen, and I didn't have any condemnation about it. I had to get it off of me, you know.
Yeah.
But I didn't accuse God. Just smile and look at each other and say, we're all growing. Praise the Lord. So we're not talking about, so people hear the faith message and they hear condemnation. If you're not at a certain place, absolutely a lie of the devil. We got to help people understand that. None of us have walked in the perfect that God has in any area. But that doesn't mean it's not out there and it's not available. Praise God. I have borrowed money for certain things over the years. Doesn't mean that's God's best. Bible said, we read it and we referred to it in the offering. He'll make you the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. And you'll lend and not borrow.
That's right.
Well, Pastor, you know that's not possible. Who said? You said that, not God. See, that's that renewing of the mind. Well, so we're illustrating just to help us understand. Now, the best God has for us, I got off on something I was started to say, the best God has for us will only happen as we move from Jesus, from being saved, let's put, you know, receiving salvation from the Lord, moving from being saved to being a disciple.
That's good.
Jesus said, if you continue in my word, John 8:32. You'll be my disciples indeed.
Yes.
These are people that believed on him. Yes. Said, Jesus, I believe you're the Messiah. So forth. Jesus said, good.
Yes.
Now, continue in what I have to say.
Yes.
And you'll be my disciples indeed. And you'll know the truth. And the truth will make you free.
Oh.
We're Jews. We were never bound. What do you mean free?
Come on.
Well, free from habits, bondages, afflictions, torments, the curse of the law, worry, fear. You just go on down the list.
That's right.
Remember whenever Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, it was a type of the new birth, and he said so. But he came out alive all right, but he had grave clothes on. That's the way we come out. We're born again, but there's still stuff hanging on us, hanging in our thought life, wrong thinking. We get offended just as quick as we used to. You know what I'm talking about? Things hanging on us. And see, the word washes that off. Jesus, when he came out, Lazarus came out, Jesus said, loose him and let him go. And that's what church is all about. That's what Sunday morning is all about. We can't save you. Just like we couldn't, those disciples couldn't raise Lazarus from the dead. But whenever he came out from the dead, Jesus said to the ministers standing by, now you do something to get them all free from that outward bondage. And that's what Sunday morning is.
Yes. Yes.
Glory to God. You got saved. Now all this stuff that came from where you were. You used to be in spiritual death. All that stuff hanging on the outside. We bring the word and wash you, and even the anointing of the Holy Ghost will burn it off. See, you can get it washed off or you can get it burned off. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Mary sat in the service, was a Sunday night, and got it glorified off. She went to have that procedure, and they said, whoops, we made a mistake. There's nothing wrong.
Hallelujah.
Woo! Yeah. We're going from glory to glory. So, this is why you and I need to be faithful to a good local church. This continues the washing process. It's hearing the word constantly that keeps us in position to receive all these things. You can look through the ministry of Jesus in Luke 5 and Luke 6 and different places. They came to hear him and to be healed, for example. It's hearing that renews our mind and builds faith. You know, judicially, all these things are ours already. We're already redeemed from all these things. Judicially, it's already been accomplished. Isn't that right? It's already been provided. But see, we have to respond to the word and know the truth, and that's what makes us free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, are you still here? That's the foundation for what I want to share here. Do you realize that a lack of a Bible experience, you know, we can read in the Bible, you know, Colossians 1, who hath delivered us from the authority of darkness. Well, that's not so in my life, Pastor Jay. I mean, at nighttime, there's tormenting demons and yeah, this is stuff and this and this. And somebody's, let's see here. You said one thing. The Bible says something else. We got to decide who we're going to go with. Let's go with God. I'm gonna pick God. But I'm not. The lack of a Bible experience does not change the Bible. Are you still out there? Now, I'm not going to, so don't take this wrong, but if I fell over graveyard dead tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, not going to do that. Nobody in this church should change their doctrine. Well, see, long life isn't for everybody, because there's pastor, he's walking with God as far as we know. That wouldn't change the Bible. The lack of my experience, me having the lack of a Bible experience does not change the Bible. You can mark it down. God was not unfaithful.
Absolutely.
See, you shouldn't be basing what you believe on what I say or what I believe. But did we read it in the Bible? Remember, this morning didn't read anything about long life, but just take Psalm 91 with long life. I'll satisfy him and show him my salvation.
That's right.
Hallelujah. And many other verses. So you and I have got to have that kind of commitment to the Word of God. God's faithful. Settle it. God is always faithful. Always faithful. It's called the will of God. Long life. Divine health. It's called the will of God in the Bible. And it's available to everyone. Will everyone step up and get it all? No. But that's not God saying, I'm not going to do it for them. Amen. Amen. And guess what? If we have your funeral, we'll rejoice that you're with Jesus. But we're not going to say, see, that proves that the Bible's not true. No, you didn't prove anything. Because you're not the authority on the subject. God's Word is the authority on the subject. God's Word, the Bible, tells us God's intention for our life down here on this earth. We know what that is. We can read it over in the book of Deuteronomy. What is it? The 11th chapter, I think. Where it says, your days will be long as days of heaven on the earth. That's God's intention down here. But getting there is not just a matter of faith and confession. That's a big thing. I don't misunderstand me. But it's not just a matter of that. It's walking out God's plan. You see, as we renew our mind, we see other things in the Bible that we must walk in to have the best God has for us. Whew, Pastor, do I have to learn all this? No, you get to.
Yeah.
You get to live long. You get to learn how to walk in divine health. You get to have a marriage that is peaceful and a home that is peaceful and children that are raised right. You get to. Well, I just want God to hit me with a blessing stick and change all these things. He works with you and me. There's a Godward side and a manward side to all of these things. Thank God for the help of the Word. Amen, amen, amen. So we've got to walk on with God. There's a walk with God. Remember, run this race that's set before you, the Bible said. And so there's a walk with God that we must, and that means take steps. Remember, if you're walking, you're taking steps. That means take steps. As light comes, you take a step into that light, being a doer of that, saying, okay, I'm gonna work that into my life. I'm going to work that into the way I think now. I'm going to think in line with the Bible, and so forth and so on. And as you take those steps, that brings the glorification process. Life goes from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And guess what? Part of that is growing up spiritually. There are some things that will be in our lives until we grow further spiritually. Not because God wants them there. It's just that, you know, as well as there's things in your children's life that are going to be there. until they grow out of it, as, you know, like selfishness and so forth and so on. And they're growing out of these things.
Yeah.
Supposed to grow out of these things.
Yes.
With proper training, they will grow out. We've got to get this right. With proper training, though, that's what the word is. The word is proper training, that we grow out of these things. Thank God. Hallelujah. So don't be so, you know, how I want this to change. Here, just focus on really growing. Just focus on just feeding on the word that grows you up spiritually and renew your mind and move from babyhood stage, which is not a bad thing. Everybody starts out a baby. Like the story I told about some European town that the Americans went over there. Any famous people ever born here? They said, no, just babies. Right? There's no spiritual giants born into the kingdom of God. They all born babies. But they became, you know, they grew. They kept on growing. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God. So as we move on, the spirit will, our spirit man will begin to develop and will hear God, will recognize what His will is. Our minds will be renewed. And then our life will become more accurate. Life will be more in line with this book. And things will just start getting washed off. Things will start changing. Romans calls it transformation. Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, be transformed. Hallelujah. My life's different than it used to be. I was so bound up with insecurities and so forth and so on that it affected my whole personality. I used to feel bad if people didn't like me. Now I feel bad if they don't. I don't feel bad for myself. I feel bad for them now.
Right.
Isn't that right? Yeah. Somebody's missing a blessing if you don't like Leanne, if you don't like Dane and all these.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Well, you're so proud and arrogant. I didn't say me and myself. I'm talking about who I am in Christ.
Right. That's right.
Abraham, the blessing of Abraham was what we were talking about. That blessing included, he said, I'll bless you, make your name great, and you will be a blessing.
Yeah.
Are you a blessing?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Well, then step up to believe that you have Abraham's blessing.
Yeah.
That you're a blessing.
Yes.
You can find something in this sermon. This is just all over the place. Amen. Life will be closer and closer to what God originally intended as this process works. And you know, really, I sometimes, as a pastor, I ache on the inside almost. It's like, oh, don't. I don't tell people what to do. I mean, in the pulpit, I do. But individually, I don't come say, no, don't marry her. Unless God tells me to.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
She's a dud. Don't do it. But sometimes as people, they're not developed spiritually. They're not following the spirit as much as their flesh.
Right.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Hey, guys, good looks is great, but wait till she has your 14 babies. or just three. I mean, you're fruitful, so I won't limit you, but... Like the guy said, he married her, and she had about three or four babies, and he said, well, you just don't look like you used to. And she said, you don't either, beer belly. Where's the glory? You know, where's the glory? Anyhow, how'd I get off on that? I don't know. I'm just saying, sometimes I ache because I know of situations. It's like, don't be desperate. If you get desperate, somebody's going to come along that's not marriage material. You know what I'm talking about? Because I know God has something better for him than that dud. Amen. They're not, they're a bottom feeder. You know what I mean by bottom feeder? Lord Jesus, help me get out of this. How'd I get into this?
Just continue. Amen.
What do I mean by bottom feeder?
Yes,
leftovers, yeah. Everything that the other ones didn't want to fill to the bottom, yeah. And certain other things that come out that fall to the bottom.
Yeah.
And but that's where some people are looking for a mate down on the bottom. I could tell you stories that would make you go, what? What were they thinking? I mean, so your heart aches sometimes. Because you know God has so much better. So much better. For them. Amen. Life will be so much more glorious if you just let him work this out. Amen. And there'll be so many things in life that you won't have to experience. There's so many things in people's lives that God never intended be there. You know what I'm talking about? Stepchildren and visitation rights and, you know, fights and fuss and custody battles, court cases. Now listen, thank God for the blood of Jesus that forgives us of our past. But bite me once, your fault. Bite me twice, my fault. Right?
Yes, sir.
Am I preaching all right?
Yes, you are. Real good.
I'm amazing. Am I preaching all right? Let me see if I can see. Oh, there you are. And the glorification process includes not getting offended, all right? Hallelujah. So, Jesus said to Jerusalem, I wanted to gather you as hen gathers her chicks. And he said, you would not. Some of the saddest words in the Bible, you would not. And then he went on to say what would happen, not because it was his will, but he said, therefore, there's going to be armies around you and so forth. But it wasn't him that was doing that. He was trying to gather them and deliver them from that. But they didn't see that. Isn't that right? There's heartache sometimes attached to, and destruction attached to certain decisions because our minds are thinking carnally, or we're not being led of the Spirit, or we're not walking in the light of the Word. And so things come into lives that never were God's intention. And people say, well, you just, you know, God... And they start blaming God. Why did you allow this to happen, God? It wasn't God that allowed it. Well, yeah, he allowed it because we made our own choice against what he said in his word. So God permits things to do things, people, excuse me, that to do things that are not expressly his will. You understand, we're a free moral agent. Amen. In the Old Testament, God they wanted a king. God said, all right, it's not my will for you. Tell them I don't want you to. We want to be like other nations. Well, he said, I want to be your king.
Yeah. Yeah.
He said, no, we want. And so God said, all right. In other words, he let them do that.
Yeah.
But he warned them. He said, here's going to be the results. I mean, he's going to charge high taxes and do things. And it's going to be different than what you really think it's going to be. And you're going to wish you hadn't and so forth and so on. But, you know, he's not going to force anybody to do anything that he said in his word. Isn't that right? And then when things come, people say, well, why did God let this happen? I don't think that really works anymore. Do you think that works anymore? Pastor Nancy told a story about her mom that I think it's funny, but it drives the point so home. Her mom now went to heaven, but she said, Pastor Nancy said her mom had the habit of walking around in the house with the lights off. And, you know, none of us have ever done that, but she said Pastor Nancy's mom broke so many toes because of that. You know, hitting things, running into things. But her solution was, rather than go to the doctor, her solution was just get a rubber band and tie the broken one to the one beside it until it healed.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about? I mean, that's the country way to do it, you know? So, but see, that's the way a lot of Christians are. They just don't want to walk in the light. You know what I'm talking about? And so they're walking around with a lot of toes with rubber bands on them. They got this area of their life wrapped with baling wire or rubber bands or something, you know, and it's being held together with baling wire. Hey, amen. Trying to hold it together. But it, guess what? If we'd have just walked in the light, it never would have been broken. Oh. But here's the thing about God. He's so good that when we don't walk in the light and we break toes, break up life, break up whatever, we cry out to God, and he's so merciful, he'll provide the rubber band. God, I've messed my life up. He goes, here's a rubber band. And people go, woo, God's blessing me. To degree. He's blessing you to a degree. Oh, are you getting this? But don't go home all happy thinking that's the best God had for you. No, sir, no, ma'am. No, see, Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years and God supplied the manna. Woo, God's blessing us to a degree. But that was not the best God had for them. Was it? He intended within 11 days they'd be in Canaan's land eating the good of the land. But instead, they decided they had a better plan. They would cry and rebel and say, we can't go in and get in unbelief and all that. Rebel against their leadership, so forth and so on. And God said, all right, well, then you can't go in unbelief. Oh. Yeah. Then they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And God supplied manna. Yeah. But that wasn't God's best. Yeah. I said, that wasn't God's best. God supplied a big fish to swallow Jonah. Yeah. Right. That was his rubber band. That's right. That was his rubber band. It wasn't God's best. Woo, God's blessing me. I mean, I'm in the belly of a fish. Oh, stinky belly of a fish, huh? That's mercy. That's good. But that's not the perfect will of God. God didn't put him in the belly of that fish. Are you getting this?
Yes.
This challenges me to the core. Just, if you're not being challenged, I'm being tremendously challenged. I got areas in my life, I see rubber bands. I'm like, this is not glorified. This is not the glory. The glory is reduced to a 3-cent rubber band. That's not very glorious. Amen. You know how to get there, though, don't you? We're learning how to get there. Praise the Lord for the mercy of God. I said, praise the Lord for the mercy of God. So we can see the good, acceptable, perfect. We can see from glory to glory. You ought to read, go home, and I don't know if you got the book, or maybe I think it's in the bookstore, or get online and download the book. I Believe in Visions. And read chapter 7. About the hospital visitor.
Yeah.
If you've never read that chapter, how about I read a portion of it before we go this morning? I'm not going to keep you a whole lot longer. Just going to finish this up. Remember Jesus appeared to Brother Hagin. He was in the ministry and he was preaching one night. He said there was a lady had a, I guess she was hard of hearing or something, or maybe she just wanted to record it. She had a tape recorder up by the pulpit, and Brother Hagin's pulpit was up here and he's preaching, and he came around the pulpit one night and tripped on that tape recorder and fell and dislocated one of his arms, one of his shoulder. Was it his shoulder or elbow? I think it was his elbow. And so they went to the emergency room to have it he thought it was broken, but it just had to be reset. And he said, the Lord spoke to him in the car and said, don't worry about it. I'll talk to you about it later. Remember that?
Yeah.
And so he got to the hospital room and the doctors were doing the x-rays and all that. This is way back, what, 50s or something like that? And so Jesus walked into the hospital. This is 1959. Here it is. Jesus walked into the hospital room. This is in El Paso, Texas. And started talking to him. And he said, I want to say this to you. This happened to you not because it was my perfect will for you, because it is not my will at all. This happened to you because you got out of my perfect will into my permissive will. You know, that if I had time, you could look at that acceptable, the word acceptable. And it just means it's okay, but it's not God's best. We use acceptable in different ways, both negative and positive. You know, that was an acceptable performance. Well, we're trying to be encouraging. But how many of you know we use a negative too sometimes? That was an acceptable, or here's what, this is an acceptable level of radiation. Okay, stay away from that, you know. So we use the word acceptable as positive and negative. When he said good, acceptable, and perfect, I believe that, that the acceptable is not necessarily God giving a person a wizzo button. Now, that's better than complete disobedience, but it's close enough to disobedience. It has enough disobedience in it that it still has an open door to the devil to a degree. Say that again, to a degree. Satan can't do everything he wants in some situations. The Bible said don't give place to the devil. I think we can see in our lives, all of us can probably see in our lives where to a degree. Well, she left. Okay, did you walk in love?
Come on.
What's all her fault? Oh, okay. What about you doing the Bible?
All right. Come on.
There's always a cause.
Yes, there is always a cause.
Now, you can't make somebody walk in love. I mean, there's another. There's two sides to that. But anyway, I got to finish this up. So Jesus said, "I want you to know that this occurred not because of my perfect will, because it's not my will at all. This happened because you got out of my perfect will into my permissive." Then he reminded me of the scripture we've just been quoting, Romans 12:2, good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. He said, I once read a translation that read that you may prove what is the good, permissive, and perfect will of God. The Lord explained that he permits people to do certain things that aren't expressly his will. For example, he said, it wasn't my will that Israel have a king. We were just talking about that. I told them so, but they wanted to be like other nations, and they kept clamoring for a king, and God permitted them to have a king. Some time ago, when you preached at a convention, he started talking to him about when he got out of the perfect will of God. And that maybe doesn't apply to you and I, but let's just skip down here to, I'm talking about the actual reason why he got out of the perfect. But so that's why, and he talked to him about what it was in his ministry. He got some things out of order. And he said, you might ask, if I knew this was going to, that you were going to fall and hurt your arm, why I didn't prevent it? He said, I could have, of course, but I didn't want to. Now that might sound like it wasn't his will, but listen very closely. He said, instead of being angry at me for not preventing it, you should have been glad that I allowed it to happen, because if I hadn't permitted Satan to do this to arrest your attention, you wouldn't have lived past the age of 55, because you would have continued in my permissive will instead of my perfect will. This is the third time I've had to speak to you about this. Oh, I've heard that before. Anybody ever heard that before?
Yeah.
Maybe not the third, but 79th. This is the third time I've had to speak to you about this. So he said, for this reason, I'm going to let you wear your arm in a cast for in a sling for a little while. That's his rubber band. I will speed up the healing process, however, so you will not be disabled as long as the doctor said would be necessary. Did you hear that? That's a good thing. It's not the best. I'll speed up the healing process because your arm won't have to be in the sling as long as the doctor said it would be necessary. Then Jesus told me exactly the day that I would get out of the cast. He went on to say, you have enjoyed divine health for 25 years. Even now, you're not sick. See, this is just a dislocated arm, not necessarily a disease. He said, you have been out of my perfect will for 2 years and have been walking in my permissive will. He went on to talk about how long he's lived in divine health. He said, I realized that the accident was not caused by the Lord. He merely permitted it. Somebody said, well, that's not love to permit it. Well, to arrest his attention.
Yeah.
It wasn't God's will.
Right.
But see, how many of you know God can't fully bless, say fully. See, we're talking about degrees this morning.
Yes,
I'm almost done. I know we're getting to the place we've heard as much as we can hear.
Yeah.
But he can't bless us fully like he wants.
Right. Yeah.
He can bless us by degrees.
Yes.
Amen. Because if he were to bless us fully in disobedience, he'd be blessing disobedience, and he can't do that. He can't do that. He said, I realized that the accident was not caused by the Lord. He merely permitted it. As in John 10:10, the thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. I'm come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. The one who steals and destroys is the enemy. The Lord doesn't commission it, although when when man opens the door to the devil, he may permit it. Now, mostly because we're permitting it.
Right.
So why did God allow that? See, we kind of have the idea, because of religious thinking, that he's up there controlling everything. He's not. We have as much. We have more authority in these things than we want to realize sometimes. Don't just go to God, why did you allow it? He allows what we allow. And sometimes maybe through ignorance. Although, if we're walking and progressing in the light, there'll be a measure of mercy over us until we get it, you know.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And so, he talked about this, and then he actually told him, he said, let me read this one statement that keeps coming to me. I don't know how quickly I can find it here. Okay, he talks about three reasons people have these kinds of things enter their life. Number one, they don't know the will of God. And Satan takes advantage of their ignorance. If you don't know it's God's will to heal, you're not going to be in faith for healing. So Satan takes advantage of that. Excuse me. The other reason is because Christians are weak in faith to lay hold of it. He said the third reason is because of disobedience. And then he said that's the reason you're here, because of disobedience. Amen. And then he said, always pray for people who are sick and in the hospital or under a doctor's care, that I will speed up the healing process, because I will do that for you. Wow. There's your rubber band. And we rejoice in that. But we can't, we've got to realize God has something so much better. But Pastor, I don't know how to get there. Keep in the Word and get things washed out. Listen, am I saying that I've arrived? I haven't arrived either. The Lord talked to me about when I injured my back. Why?
Yeah.
Duh. Wish Dane would have told me that.
You're helping.
Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
So don't think I'm looking down my nose at anybody. I got my own business to take care of.
Come on now.
Amen. But I'm not blaming God for anything that, you know.
No, sir.
And I'm thankful for rubber bands. Did you get anything out of that? I think it's important. You ought to meditate on that passage, these verses that we've read, and then meditate on that chapter where Brother Hagin, the Lord appeared to Brother Hagin in that vision and talked to him. It's like you can find things in your life that that applies to.
Hallelujah.
Aren't you glad for mercy? Aren't you glad for big fish that come by and manna out of the sky sometimes, and the rubber bands and baling wire and casts and insurance to get you a new car when you wreck it. And aren't you glad for all those things? But let's not just see that and say thank God for his perfect blessings. No, there's something better. Something better than getting a new car out of an accident. It's called avoiding an accident. Hallelujah. By the leading of the Spirit. Thank God. Stand with me. Praise God for the truth. Thank God for the truth. Don't hear any of what we shared as condemnation. Just smile through those 27 of your 34 teeth. Aren't you supposed to have 34? I think 32? Some people have 34, I guess. Smile through all 27 of those 32 teeth.
Yes, sir.
And go get you a rubber band.
That's right.
You know what I'm talking about? And we'll all rejoice with you. But none of us are thinking that's the best. We should all be thinking there's better. And we're not condemning one another either. If I was preaching this in condemnation to anyone, I'd be condemning myself. Because I've had a whole box of rubber bands at different times. You know? Honey, can you get rubber bands down at Walmart? get some fatter ones. I need some fatter ones. These keep breaking. Mostly because I had it wrapped up and I bumped it again. You know what I'm talking about? Somebody give God a shout for this morning. Thank God, thank God, thank God. I love the mercy of God. He is so good, isn't he? He just meets us where we are. There's no shame in where we are. I don't think we should stay there, though, do you? We ought to keep progressing out of some of these things.